Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's 1:08. We are grateful that you've chosen to spend your afternoon with us here on the Annie Fry Show. So many big news stories cycling through the news cycle right now. That's a great way to put it. And it's hard to keep up with them. And it kind of becomes a personal preference. What do you want to know about? Do you want to know about salacious activities, both foreign and abroad? Do you want to know what's the latest COVID update? Do you want to know what the latest poll numbers are with the election? Or are you wanting to, you know, just get through this confirmation hearing and see this just judge become a justice? Or you really wish it wouldn't happen, but you know that it's probably inevitable. There's a lot to take in right now. There's a story for everybody out there, and it's going to narrow. It's going to have to narrow here as we move towards November 3rd. President Trump speaking in Battleground, North Carolina right now, and we listened to a little bit of that before we took this last break. But somebody who's watching all of this just like you and I are, and probably, I just suspect, a little bit perturbed and annoyed about it as much as we are, is Tyrus, and he's with us right now. Let's get to it.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Nuff Said.
Host of Nuff Said on Fox Nation. Become a subscriber by going to foxnation.com. Tyrus, hope you're doing well. What's the soup du jour for you? What story are you following closely right now? One more than other?
You know what? I have been obsessed with the story about the priest who was found or was having an affair with evil dominatrix in the church altar story. That has been particularly ridiculous to me. Like, that's news.
I have no idea what you're talking about, which says a lot about how
unbelievable story. Like, it's on the Fox News app. It is just, it has all the trimmings of just where we're at right now.
Yeah. Sadness.
But
despair.
Outside of that salacious mind-bending story, I would have to say all the drama with the Supreme Court and the last-minute mud-slinging from the campaigns is pretty appetizing, I guess is the word.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's got to be fatigue for a lot of American people, American voters right now who it's impossible to keep up with all of it. I'm trying my best, and it's giving me physical anxiety that I cannot wait to rid myself of after this election is over. And you know, when the Hunter Biden New York Post story started to come out, and I've said this before and it's worth repeating again, if this turns out to be a Hunter Biden, just a dirty expose on his vices, that's not really of the American interest in a public way as much as it is, what did he do with that in relation to his father, who was the vice president at the time? That's what we need to be very, very made aware of. And the truth needs to come out. But then it gets trumped with this censorship that's coming out. The idea that Twitter would stop this story from being spread around because they haven't fully verified it. Tyrus, what kind of other stories has Twitter come out and wanted to verify first before they were allowing people to, you know, send out false news stories or accusations or allegations about people? Twitter all of a sudden got a conscience yesterday. It's a shocker, isn't it?
Yeah. Here's the thing about the Hunter Biden thing. Hunter Biden makes zero difference in the way I'm going to vote. I don't think the story, we've heard the stories there, you know, it's an unconfirmed source. It's even the most right-leaning opinion shows thing is kind of sketchy. And to be just perfectly honest, I don't care. That's not what's going to make my vote. I don't see Hunter Biden making any policy changes or issues or whatever. And there's arguments on both sides of the fence as far as nepotism and stuff that's going on with Trump's son now, still making money while the dad's in office, et cetera, with his dad's name. I mean, it's just that type of stuff really doesn't matter. I just don't care anymore. You know, if they're going to, you know, we just had another situation where, you know, the one thing we got to keep it real. You know, President Trump pulls no punches on the campaign and doesn't necessarily really care if things are real or not. And neither did Hillary Clinton. And, you know, in the Biden campaign, they'll take whatever's going on and run with it. Except the difference is the Biden campaign doesn't really have to come up with stuff. The media does it for them.
Do you think it matters though?
No.
I mean, these are emails. I mean, not does it, should it matter to the American people if we find out that Hunter Biden was given access to foreign governments and making money to in the tune of millions and millions of dollars, where these emails are talking about his connection to his influence, where we have Hunter Biden himself saying that if he didn't have the last name Biden, he probably wouldn't have these positions. I mean, should it matter? I get what you're saying that it doesn't.
No, I mean, you don't need an email to know that Hunter Biden was obviously, given his addictions, going to use his name to feed his addictions. It doesn't matter whether or not the point to attack Joe Biden on his son's behaviors. And I can't, as a parent, you know, when you're dealing with addictions with your children, they're a monster. They're addictions, the monster, sorry. And it doesn't matter who they hurt, because they don't care about themselves and they're destroying themselves. And I'm pretty sure Hunter Biden used his father's name for everything he's worth during his addiction. And I think we have to recognize that. Was it right? Absolutely not. Is that an out? Is that an excuse? No, it's not. But it does give you some understanding. And I think attacking Hunter Biden, Joe, Vice President, has enough on his record of 30 years that we can argue about that. We could argue about his stance on law and order. We can argue about his unwillingness to commit to whether he's going to be packing the Supreme Court if he would be elected. We have enough differences of opinion without even bringing his son into it. And frankly, it's not going to make a bit of difference on Joe Biden. It's not like these emails are going to lead to an FBI arrest or something of that nature. It's just slanging. And honestly, I think we at this point are above it. Attacking family members, I think, is I just think it's below the bar across the board. If they were attacking Trump Jr. or Eric Trump or Ivanka or even, and we've seen
they
it
do.
And it's disgusting, and they do, but I'm saying, and I treat it the same thing.
Yeah.
I think family is off limits, and I don't see how it's going to help you. If you're already to the point where that is important to you, you're already voting for President Trump as it is. So, again, it's just more crap for us to have to go through on the news cycle to see what sticks. And then, of course, on the other side, you know, every time the president has a rally and grown adults, consenting adults, decide to make the trip to go to these events, and if they decide to wear a mask and they don't wear a mask or whatever their situation is, they are going into it with their eyes wide open. The CDC, the information is there. You know, it's ready, available, and, you know, you can make criticisms about whether the president pushes it enough or not. But again, these are adults who make their thing, and to villainize the president and make him into a mass murdering monster because he chooses not to wear a mask when he speaks. You know, I mean, it's just don't go to him, you know, don't vote for him. We really need to just get past it. Everyone is just trying to get the last minute punch in to try to convince this illusion that there's all these undecided voters. I don't think anyone's undecided at this point,
and, Tyrus,
other than you're in a coma.
Yeah, we knew that the news cycle was going to be crazy this year. I don't think any of us knew it was going to be this relentless, or that we might lose Tommy Lee to Greece. I mean, it's just sad. What to you, taking a step back from the weekly news, which has just been insane lately, what to you is the big issue? What's the issue that most voters you think are going to decide their vote on this year?
I think it's going to be the coronavirus. I think it's the pandemic. I think whether they think the president has done a good enough job and should continue to lead while we go through this pandemic and potentially tough winter, or they think that Joe Biden is going to have a different approach and they want to try that. I really think that's what it comes down to. If it wasn't for the coronavirus, this isn't even a conversation. This election is one-sided. President Trump wins easily based off his economics, his policies around the world. Like before the coronavirus, there was some, you know, the economy was booming. We were seeing more participation from our allies in policing the world, et cetera. There was a lot of positive things going on, policies going on, jobs were going up, people were making more money. So I, you know, with the exception of the coronavirus, I really thought he wins in a landslide. And I kind of thought that Joe Biden running was more like the situation when McCain was running against Barack Obama, the Republican Party. Kind of, this guy's got something going on. He's got a huge following. He's got giant rallies. You know, same thing with President Trump, to where it was like, well, next man up. You got whoever wants it can take it. And I thought it was kind of the same thing. So I can't see, if your issue isn't the coronavirus, then I think your vote buys with President Trump. I think he deserves the opportunity to have his second term. And it's very rare that presidents don't get it. You know, I think we had Jimmy Carter.
Especially with such a huge support from his party, like massive 96% support from the Republican Party. One last question before we let you go. Coronavirus will definitely be one of the leading factors. I agree with you on that. Do you think that Joe Biden's health and mental wellness, do you think the people see that and that affects their willingness? I don't think anyone's going to go from one candidate to the other, but willingness to show up and cast a vote versus I just don't think that either of these guys are the right fit, and I just can't stomach the vote for him.
This was one of the huge mistakes that President Trump's campaign made. The idea of trying to portray Joe Biden as senile and not having it. One, it alienated a lot of elderly independents, and two, he gaffes. He grew up with a stutter. He tends to do that when pressed and say weird off the wall things, but he's literally been doing that his entire political career. And I think that was a huge mistake because you set the bar low. So when there's a debate and he doesn't forget what city he's in or who he's talking to, they're like, see, told you. So I think that was a real mistake. I think that both parties are energized. We see early voting numbers are insane on both sides. And I think it's going to be a highly contested election that we're not going to get the results for maybe months. Like, it's going to be a lot to count. And I think every Democrat worth their salt is going to show up, and every Republican and independent, I think everyone's going to be mobilized in voting. So it'll be interesting to see those. We're going to have some interesting conversations in the next couple weeks. And hopefully you and I can be on the front line of the voice of reason, because I think reasonable minds and calm, cool demeanors are going to be worth their weight in gold, you know?
Hard to find these days.
Yeah.
Tyrus,
well, I find them on the Annie Frey Show every week. So.
Well, I appreciate that. We're always grateful to talk to you. And the thing that I like about having you on is that every time you're here, you've got an opinion that is yours. It's not one that we've heard of 100 other places. And I have commenters who agree with everything you're saying and disagree with everything you're saying at the same time. And that's refreshing.
Yeah, and that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Tyrus, always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again
next
week.
Always a pleasure. All right.
Bye-bye. Enough said on Fox Nation. Become a subscriber at foxnation.com. I mean, you know, and I push back on this a little bit, but I disagree with him. The Hunter Biden story is not picking on the son of a former elected official, because Hunter Biden was the son of a vice president who was running massive companies that were involved in foreign relationships, that had connections made because of the familial relationship that existed between Joe Biden and the vice president of the United States. The vice president is an office that belongs to us, that we fill with our votes. Therefore, it does have the implication where we get to have some oversight in it, and we need the truth to let us determine, the people of this country, whether or not this is a, let's use a phrase that Joe Biden said, but I'll abbreviate, a BFD. It's a big deal. Remember Obamacare? Remember when he said that, right? He patted Obama on the shoulder and said into the live microphone, this is a big freaking deal, but he didn't say freaking. So, yeah. That's 10 years ago, and if you've been watching these hearings, you know that it's a very short-lived proposition if the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary know what they're talking about, and I don't know that they do. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Stephen Moore, who's the senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks, visiting fellow at Heritage, economic advisor to the president in 2016, and still we will connect with him when we come back and ask, you know, it was going to be the economy, stupid, and the economy was on fire, and that was going to get this president a huge reelection. We still in that boat? We'll ask Stephen Moore when we come back. Don't go away.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm deeply concerned about the Affordable Care Act. And what we did yesterday, I feel very good about it, is we brought real people into the room showing the real harm that this nominee will do to people like Connor Curran, a 10-year-old boy in Ridgefield, Connecticut, who suffers from an incurable disease and is alive today because he has health care access afforded by the ACA. So people with pre-existing conditions who would lose their coverage are in that room.
So there you have Senator Blumenthal from earlier this week, yesterday, or 2 days ago, talking about how fearful he is about the potential loss of the Affordable Care Act. This has been the predominant factor that every Democrat on the Judiciary Committee has brought up. And I remind you, in the Senate, the Affordable Care Act passed with 60 votes, all Democrats. 39 Republicans voted against it. One Republican did not vote. In the House, 51% of the House voted to pass it. That's the one that Nancy Pelosi said we have to pass the bill so that we can see what's in it. That's mind-boggling still. 51% of the House, all yays, Democrats. 32, I think, Democrats voted against it. The only bipartisanship that has ever existed about the Affordable Care Act has been to oppose it. And now these Senate Democrats, the 10 that are on this committee, are trying to save it for the country. The country didn't want it. Democrats wanted it. And I wonder why. I have a feeling it has a little bit of something to do with money. That's why we're going to talk to Stephen Moore about it. Stephen Moore joins us now, the senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks, and visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He's got a book called Trumponomics, and you need to check it out right now. Stephen, thanks for coming back with us. Great to have you here. What kind of economic impact in the last 10 years have we had and seen happen to this country because of this Affordable Care Act?
Well, look, I'm not an expert on healthcare, but I do know this, that when we have the government play a larger and larger role in healthcare, it usually leads to unhappy results. And I do believe if you get a Biden presidency, you're going to have a totally government-run health system. My own view is we can cover everybody in this country who is a citizen for basic health care and basic coverage, but we don't need to have, you know, the government run the system. And I'm really worried about this because, you know, 75% of Americans like the health insurance they have. Remember the big lie, Annie, from 2008 and 2009? If you like your health insurance, you'll be able to keep it. If you like your doctor, you'll be able to keep it. You know, that's now a laugh line because everyone knows it wasn't true. Look, I think my main point would be, this isn't about healthcare. This election is not about healthcare. Amy Barrett is not about healthcare. This election really is about who is going to get our economy, you know, back roaring again. And I got to tell you, Annie, I mean, the numbers that just keep coming out every day are showing a ferocious recovery. This economy is a rocket ship right now. I mean, we saw that. I'll give you just one example that I love, because I really like to look at the statistic that comes out once a month, which is the Small Business Optimism Index. You know, we have 28 million small businesses around the country, and they are the spinal cord of the economy. They supply 60 to 70% of the jobs. Small business optimism went way up last month, and this is amazing statistic. But the small business optimism today in America is higher than it was in any point in 8 years under Barack Obama. Think about that. That's an unbelievable statistic. You know, we've created 11 million jobs. And my point is, you know, do people really want to change the pilots right now when the economy is flying so, you know, so high? I think if people really think about it, because they know that Trump is going to be a lot better for the economy than Biden will be, that's why I still think that I really do think that Donald Trump is going to win this election. It's going to be a really somber night for liberals who remember 4 years ago, Annie, they thought they had it won.
Yeah, they sure did. It was a shocker, and it's 2020, and it still seems to be shocking them.
Stephen Moore, I wanted to ask you about jobs numbers. I've got this theory I want to run by you and see if I'm a smart guy or if I'm a stupid guy. I'm wondering if we're going to see a slowdown in the jobs numbers in October just because everybody's bracing for the election. Do you think that'll happen?
What do you mean they're racing for the election?
They're bracing for the election. Bracing. They're waiting for it. Yeah, not racing for it.
Well, yeah, look, so we've created 11 million jobs in 5 months, which is the all-time record by a long shot. Now, is the pace of job creation slowing? Yeah, but we're still seeing really nice numbers. I mean, the unemployment rate right now in the country is 7.9%. Now, think about that. The Congressional Budget Office, the Federal Reserve Board, all of the private economists thought that, you know, if you asked them 4 or 5 months ago for their forecast, they thought we'd have a 17% unemployment right now. I mean, that's really amazing that we are now down to less than 8% in the middle of a pandemic. I was looking at the numbers, by the way, guys, about what was like, remember, when Obama took the presidency and we were in the, you know, we had just hit the bottom of that terrible recession. And Biden keeps talking about he was the one. Remember, I'm the one who, you know, commandeered the what do they call it? What was their bill? I forget what they called it. The American Recovery Act or whatever it was called. You know, we still had an 8-9% unemployment rate virtually by the end of Obama's first term. I mean, so we have a lower unemployment rate now after 5 months of the pandemic under Trump than we did virtually after 5 years under Obama and Biden. So I think that has to be the key consideration. And I'll tell you this, if Biden wins the election, I don't think he will. I think you're going to see a real shrinkage of private sector and small business spending. I think a lot of the jobs are going to go away. And I think you get a big double dip recession.
But if Biden wins the election and then that happens, it seems to me that everything that has been good about the Trump administration was because Obama did it. So when Biden does these things you're talking about, maybe you can elaborate a little bit more about what Joe Biden and the Biden-Harris ticket have committed to doing if they win, like raising taxes.
Yep.
Are they going to raise taxes? We're going to lose jobs. The economy is going to go in the tank. And then is that naturally going to be Trump's fault?
You know, well, first of all, this would be the first time in American history, you know, where Americans would be actually voting for the candidate that they think is worse for the economy, because all the polls show that, you know, so Trump really is his own worst enemy. And that's why this debate is so critical between Biden and Trump. Trump has to behave better. He lost 4 points. Republicans across the board lost 4 points after that debate. And, you know, I'm as big a fan as there is of Donald Trump. I love what he's done for the country. I did not like his behavior in that first debate. He was kind of rude and that's just not, you know, what people want to see from the president. He can get it back. I was at the first debate 4 years ago at Hofstra University. Trump was a disaster against Hillary. And then he came back. Remember, he won the second and third debates. And that's how he won the presidency. So I think he's going to rally here. But people, you know, it's just frustrating me because I talk to my sisters. They're my, you know, they're the typical kind of, you know, suburban housewives, and they haven't decided yet. And they say, well, I just don't like Trump. And I said, I don't care if you like him. This isn't a personality contest.
Yeah.
It's about who can handle the economy, who can handle our foreign policy, who can handle China, who can handle Iran, who can handle Russia, you know, who can get the jobs back. And then they go, yeah, you know, it's so amazing. There was a poll that came out today by Gallup. They're the ones that did the poll that found 56% of Americans think they're better off, say they're better off today than they were 4 years ago, even at the end of a pandemic. And what this poll showed, Annie, it was amazing. Most Americans agree with Trump on the issues.
Yeah.
They do. They don't agree with Biden on the issues. They agree with Trump on the issues. And yet a lot of them are still going to vote for Biden. I don't get it.
Do you have concerns about Joe Biden's potential relationship with China and yeah, some of what we've heard about Ukraine? But as his history as vice president of the United States, there's a stark contrast, it seems, between how President Trump is handling these relationships and how Joe Biden would.
So I'm not going to comment on this scandal because I just don't know enough about it, this Ukraine scandal. But I do know about China. And this is a key issue for not just our country, but for the whole planet, is whether the United States will continue to be the global economic superpower. Because we know, Annie, China wants to knock us off the perch, right? They want to knock us down. Now, who do you think, Annie, President Xi and the corrupt communist government in China would rather have as the next president? Trump? Or Joe Biden.
I don't think it's Trump.
Of course they want
Mr.
Biden.
China virus. Because
Trump has stood eye to eye with China. He has negotiated a much better trade deal. He is not allowing them to invade Taiwan or Hong Kong. I think they would probably do that if Biden, who is a patsy when it comes to China, happens. And I'm so concerned about this. I think this is such an important election that if Biden were elected and he did all the things that he said he says he's going to do, raise taxes, destroy American oil and gas industry, raise regulations, on and on and on. I do believe in 4 years, China would surpass the United States and they would be the economic superpower and we'd be wallowing in another recession. That's how important this is. And people have to wake up to it. I don't care if you like Donald Trump. A lot of times I don't like his behavior, but you got to love his performance. You got to love how he stands on the issue. You got to love how he puts America first. And I don't think Biden will. Biden wants to put America back into the stupid Paris Climate Accord, which is just a trap for the United States. We've already been reducing our carbon emissions. Do you think China is reducing its carbon emissions? Come on. They're massively increasing their carbon emissions. They don't care about climate change. They care about global dominance.
Stephen, real quick before we let you go, how important is it for people to engage in conversations like you are with your sisters? To be willing to have that conversation and say, like, I get how you feel about Donald Trump, how he makes you feel. How important are those conversations going to be to the outcome of this election?
We all have to. We all have to work our fannies off. If you agree with us that this is an important election, vitally important for the history of our country. By the way, if Biden wins this election, I don't think he is, but if he does, it's not going to affect you and me that much, Annie. I mean, it'll be bad times for the country. It really will be very, very bad for our children. I have two sons that are in their 20s. What about their job prospects? What impact will it have on their future? What about the kids, these children? The Democrats want to keep the schools shut down. You know, we've talked about this week after week. It's child abuse. We're in mid-October. Every school in the country should be open, mm-hmm. not closed. Democrats have shut everything down. So I think it's for our children and our grandchildren. He wants to run up the debt by another $2 or $3 trillion. You know, who's going to pay that?
Our children and their kids. Stephen Moore, great points. And I'm glad to hear that this is personal for you and your family, because a lot of Americans can relate to that right now. And you talk about the issues and it just makes so much sense to you and it just doesn't seem to translate. But the conversation is important to have.
Exactly.
Thanks for coming on.
Have a great one. Take care.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week. Get his book, Trumponomics, Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy. It's pretty much applicable again, as it was in 2016 when he wrote it. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. The president's still talking in North Carolina. Maybe we'll dip in to see what he has to say. And, let's get some of you guys on here to talk about your experiences. What is your experience of trying to talk to family members? There's a huge difference between you being a staunch Trump supporter and you going to your family member who is equally a staunch Biden supporter or Democrat. you're probably not going to change their mind. Just like they're probably not going to change, they're not going to change yours. Are there people in your family that are disgusted by the whole process who would be willing to listen to you because they love you? I'd love to hear from you. 314-241-9797. Let's have that discussion when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I think anyone's ever said to Donald Trump, you know what, just say what you need to say, just get it out. Tell us how you feel.
I have a feeling that anybody who doesn't say that to him doesn't last too long. If they try to rein him in, he's probably like, yeah, you need to go away.
You're being really passive about this, Mr. Trump. I think you need to be more explicitly clear about how you feel.
Thank you.
He's in North Carolina right now. Here's part of his rally.
But this election is a matter of national security. It really is. We can't let this happen. It's a matter of national security. The Bidens got rich while America got robbed. Now big tech, you see what's going on with big tech? Is censoring these stories to try and get Biden out of this impossible jam. He's in a big jam. You know, his son left his laptop at some place. Fixed my laptop. He forgot to pick it up. The guy from the laptop, it looks like he saw it. He said, wow, this is really criminal stuff. He brought it to the FBI. Can you believe this?
I can believe it. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. And then apparently as he went on a little bit here, he started to read Hunter Biden's actual emails. We're going to speak with Jack Posobiec in a little bit, and we are going to find out what it's like because Jack Posobiec is actually at this North Carolina event. It's going to be pretty exciting to hear his reaction to that. Ryan, do you think that these rallies make a difference? Because I got to say, while the president was in the hospital, I wasn't feeling very good about his chances. When I see him back out and doing his thing, I naturally emotionally feel like, okay, all right, you got this. You're making your case.
You know, it's funny. They say a lot of people who show up at these rallies are either independent or they're Democrats. And I don't think that a lot of the Democrats that show up are showing up just to instigate things. I think there are apparently people who are registered Democrats who are crossing over to show up at these rallies. But overall, even though they're very well attended, I don't think we're talking about the people there voting being the point. The point is the optics of these things show that there's tremendous enthusiasm, and that's what I think will affect the overall electorate.
Yeah, I think it's powerful to see some of these images with these massive rallies, people, you know, standing in line and there to support the president. I think it is impactful. I want to take a couple phone calls here real quick. We'll try to move through them as fast as we can. Kim's on the line right now, calling from St. Charles.
Yeah.
Kim, can you turn your radio down? And what do you think?
It's powerful to see some of these images villages with these massive rallies.
I like the voice you're making.
Kim, I like your radio show. Turn your radio down. There you go. Thank you.
I couldn't even hear you. Well, what I wanted to say is that my family are Democrats, and I've been a Trump supporter since he first announced he was going to run, and they won't even speak to me about it. They shut me down. They won't talk to me about it at all. Mm-hmm. And one day I got him to talk a little bit, and I said, well, there's a lot of people I listen to that's very smart who support Trump, and they said, like, who? I said, well, for one, Mark Levin, and they never heard of Mark Levin. And they say that, oh, you listen to Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. And I do have a cousin who is very totally Democrat forever, and she couldn't stand Trump mostly because of the immigration policies. Mm-hmm. And over the last few years, she's a Trump supporter now, and she told us because I just gently kept telling her truth.
Yeah. Well, Kim, that's good. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And I think it's important what you're doing is you're sticking at it. But, you know, when they say that you listen to Tucker and Hannity and whatever, get them to listen to 97.1. Get them to listen to some local folks who aren't saying the same thing every day. I mean, even across the board on this station, 1, 2, 3, 4, we've got 4 main shows here on the station that are all saying different things, very different things. And it's good. It's a representation of different kinds of people. And, you know, tell them to listen to 97.1. And they'll probably find somebody who they can at least relate to. Thank you for the call, Kim. Let's go to Noreen. Can we put Noreen on the line? We'll have, go ahead. Noreen, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, what I wanted to talk about is when I talk to my family, mm-hmm. Most of them are Republicans, but the ones that are Democrats, I keep reminding them, don't just put an X through Biden, put an X through Trump, look at the party. Yeah. And when you go for partial birth abortion, which is the Democratic Party, I said, how can you go before God and say I voted for that party because we're murdering babies? If you know about partial birth abortion, they pull the body out, let the body dangle, keep the head in, and then they, I'm not going to say what they do, but it's terrible. And a family member that had an abortion at a young age was ignorant of it, and she knows God forgave her. But how can you vote for a party that says this is all right? No, it's not. It's
Noreen,
not.
Noreen, thank you for the phone call. I do appreciate that. And I think that those are important conversations to have. They're also super sensitive conversations to have. You know, like you said she was ignorant to her choice. There's so many women who aren't provided with the information of what's actually happening there. And it becomes a tragedy later in life when they find out what it is. It's very sad. It's very frustrating. We need to be able to lovingly have these conversations. If love isn't, and I mean this sincerely, if love isn't at the epicenter of what you're doing, don't do it. If the point of what you are engaging with somebody when it comes to having a political conversation isn't because you care about that person more than you care about your ideas, don't have the conversation. You're not going to win. You're going to dislike each other more than before you started. And it's going to make everybody more staunch in where they started. There is a huge difference of knowing in your heart that you care about the person and knowing in your head what's best for this country. And they have to both be present. And if they're not both present, don't do it. It's not worth it. Tony from St. Charles is on the line real quick. I want to get to Tony's call. Tony, thanks for calling us.
Hello.
Hi, Tony. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I wear a Trump hat. I got a Trump mask, and I got my family talked into voting for Trump, and my people that work for me. I work a lot of down here in St. Louis and places, and a lot of people say, boy, you're brave wearing that hat. I said, why am I brave? I said, I've backed who I've wanted to get in there. But my wife, who I've been married to for almost 50 years, has never voted. She's going to vote for Trump now.
Yeah. Tony, good job. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I mean, you have to have some bravery to wear that stuff just because so many people aren't willing to do it. It'll be interesting to see what happens after the election here and if the support for the president grows a little bit. Real quick here before we go to a break, something specifically for Ryan Wiggins here. Do you want to just go ahead and read from Steve Cortez here what we have on the screen?
Sure. It says Wisconsin,
Falls.
There we go, is within 2 percentage points.
Falls.
Per the Trafalgar Group, so I've seen this poll. This is a little bit of a right-leaning poll, but they were actually one of the most accurate in 2016, too. That's what it just said.
Why don't you read what it says? You're scooping the scoop.
Terms of 2016.
Yes.
It's a horse race. Let's go. Yeah.
So you've totally buried the lead here. I'll do it. Wisconsin is within 2 percentage points. Joe Biden polling at 47.3%. Donald Trump at 45.4% in Wisconsin. That's not the vibe you get from when you're listening to a lot of these other people talking about what's going on, and you're hearing people say it's a Biden landslide. I haven't heard anybody who doesn't have a predisposition to a political party say anything about a landslide that didn't have a political benefit for doing that. There's no pollsters that are out there right now going, oh, this is obviously a landslide. There are people who are consolidating what they want to hear. They're putting it in a sequential, PowerPoint presentation for you to consume so that they know what they want to say. They just got to figure out how to prove it to you. And it's selective editing. And then it has the effect that it has. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to speak with Jack Posobiec, who is at the Trump rally, which is still going on. Did it start at
1:15? 1:30. Remember he said
our time?
It's 1:30.
No, 1:30 Eastern.
Yeah, yeah, it was Eastern time.
Yeah, Eastern, 12:30. He's been going and going. He's in North Carolina. The flags are whipping behind him. He is doing his thing there in North Carolina, and Jack Posobiec is there. Jack Posobiec is a host for One America News Network. Jack Posobiec reported on the Hunter Biden story yesterday on Twitter, got locked out. And Jack has seen some of the stuff that's going on and has some information about where this Hunter Biden story might be going.
And as you said that, it just ended.
It did. Okay, fantastic. Well, he must be trying
He's listening.
To hit the post here, too, to wrap up this segment. So stick around. I'm going to message Jack and see if we can get him right here when we return. If not, at 2:05 or so, we'll have him at 2:25. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show live from the rally grounds there in North Carolina. Jack Posobiec, when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.